Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Sibanda, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and how are you too?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Oh, fantastic. Great to have you once again on the show. Well, we are continuing talking about God and money, which is a very important subject in the Christian's life, and that which is that of stewardship. And of course, in the context of our conversation this week, we're talking about financial stewardship and what it means, as well as what God's promises regarding our faithfulness are. Now, Pastor, when it comes to stewardship, particularly tithing and offering, how does that connect to our faith and finances?
Actually, it's interesting to note that of the teachings of Jesus, verses or topics on prayer or on faith combined are actually less than his parables or teachings on issues of money.
Okay.
That on its own shows the emphasis that Jesus himself had on financial matters in relation to our spiritual journey. Having then said that, it is evidently that that which we possess or our being cannot be separated with our relationship with our Maker.
Okay, all right.
Hence, whatever we have or whatever we possess has to do, how we distribute it, how we partake of it, or how we use it is actually based on our religion.
Mm.
So I would like you to understand that our financial matters have a serious bearing on our worship, because it is the way we relate with our wealth that underscores how much we understand or we perceive our religion.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Now, in light of that and in light of stewardship and its broad meaning and context, after all is said and done, we do know that God owns 1,000 bulls on a hill. I mean, God is the one who makes gold and silver. God is the one who is a maker of the universe. Literally, everything that we see and behold is from his hands. So does he need our money?
The obvious answer would be an absolute no. God does not need our money. He actually can do without our money. But in essence, God wants us. He needs us. And now that money is part of who we are, if God needs us, then he also needs everything that is ours. Not primarily to say he needs money. I would love just to share with you this concept. I think there are three verses in the Bible where three people asked for water, which they did not want. Go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse number 17.
Okay.
Eliezer, while searching for a wife for Isaac, the Bible says he made a prayer and say, "Let it be that the damsel whom I will ask of water, if she gives me water, then let that damsel be the wife of Isaac." You go to 1 Kings, should be 17:10. Elijah asked for water from a widow, when actually he was instructed by God to.
Yes. Oh, Pastor. Oh, man. This was just coming all right. Pastor. All right, it's at 26 minutes before the hour, 3 o'clock. I think Pastor Sibanda there is lost to us, and so we're going to see if we can just... Hi, Pastor, can you get me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we lost you there just for a moment. Please do say it again.
Okay, I was saying, Eliezer was looking for a wife for Isaac.
Right.
But he asked for water. Elijah is trying to identify the widow whom God has instructed to take care of him. He also asked for water. John chapter 4, Jesus himself asked for water from the woman of Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman says, remember, I'm a Samaritan and we don't have any relationship with the Jews. And Jesus says, had you known who the one who is asking for water from you, you would have asked from him. Mm-hmm. Looking at the three stories of the three gentlemen who asked for water, none of them wanted the water.
Mm.
And despite the fact that they didn't even want the water, yet the three women who were supposed to give them water not have given them water, they would have failed to partake of the blessing that was on their way. Yet when they gave the three men this water, actually they positioned themselves strategically to be the channels of God's blessings. When God asked for us then financial stewardship to return tithes and offerings, God is not even in need of our man. But it is still that response of ours to him with what we have that positions us to be the channels of his blessings.
Wow.
So God does not need our money, but God wants to bless us if we surrender ourselves and surrender everything that is ours into his hands. Then we are positioning ourselves as the channels for his blessings.
Beautiful. If that is the case, then he should just be straight and say, listen, guys, I'm actually looking for you. Forget the money, but please just hand yourself over to me because I want to make your life good. Surely you can say that.
And you know, when we read the Bible, you need to understand there are two different ways of communicating. There is something that is implied and something that is explicit.
Mm.
So go to Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible then says, present yourselves, therefore, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God.
Okay.
Yet in the whole of the Old Testament, you remember the sacrifices were what people brought to God, like animals, blood, and so forth. But in this instance, God demands that we present ourselves as the living sacrifices. So in essence, God is in need of us, not of what we have. After all, if we were to look at it even broader, we actually don't have anything. All what we have came from God. It is actually his. It's more like a parent who put a child some sweets.
You see, Pastor, let me just interject there just a little bit. And you are rightfully saying that, in fact, what we even have is a little. Now, I'm imagining if I, give my boy some stipend, some money, etc. And then out of this little, very little that I'm giving him, I then demand that he must give me something that I need to use for some other use. I mean, all because I just need his attention. I could just summon the boy to give me attention. That's it. Instead of saying, no, you've got to at least every month give me some money. And all those playing those tricks, all I'm looking for is just his attention.
Remember, God knows us better than we even know ourselves.
Mm.
So what we can understand and believe that is that whatever strategy he uses to get our attention,
mm-hmm.
according to the best knowledge of himself,
okay.
he knows that is the best way. We may think of other ways that he could have actually drawn our attention. But remember, his wisdom, actually the Bible says God's foolishness mm-hmm. is actually wiser than our wisdom.
Yes. All right. No, I get you. I get you. Now, what's the purpose then of a tithe and offering, Pastor?
The purpose of tithe and offering, when we are to look for it from the biblical perspective in the Old Testament, it was meant to sustain God's work. There are people who were not employed anywhere else other than the temple. Their duty was just to wake up in the morning, go to the temple. They are working them. They are actually making holy duties. As such, since they cannot go to their own fields, they have to be paid from the tithe so that the work of the sanctuary or the work of the temple can continue. That was basically the purpose of the tithe.
So effectively, this money was meant to pay these guys off, so that they can actually make a livelihood. So they don't have a job. They are struggling to make a living by themselves, and God looks for other people to sustain them.
They are not really struggling to make a living.
Okay.
They've been assigned to work in the temple. They could actually do a lot of other things in life. They could be equally be farmers, builders, carpenters, and so forth. Mm-hmm. But God has separated them to say, instead of concentrating on your own errands,
right,
concentrate on the holy errands, mm-hmm, and I will take care of you.
Oh, I get you. I get you. Now, how are we then to perceive the promise that God will pour out a blessing to the faithful tither? But does he withhold the blessing from those who don't tithe? And does tithing actually mean that I could never actually be broke? Because if I'm returning the tithe, there's a promise to it. There's a promise attached. He says, give me, then I will, which is actually another vicious cycle. Because if I've got to take money out of my pocket for him to give me blessings, it's another thing that you actually need to just unpack it for us before you actually come to this question. Why would I give money to God when he's actually prepared to be giving me more money then, according to his promise?
In the first place, tithe simply means 10% of something.
Right.
The very first reason why I can tithe is because I've already been blessed already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because God is the one who has blessed me with this 100%, where I then take the 10% and return it to him. But as much as I return the 10%, he still promises to open up windows of blessings.
Right, right.
Meaning to say, God is saying, I've already blessed you. That's why you have a 10% you can bring to me.
Mm-hmm.
But after giving me this 10%, I still promise you, remember, God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
I will still open up windows for you to continue blessing you. So it's a fact that when we tithe, God has promised to bless us for that particular business of tithing. God promises himself, and we cannot improve his word. It is his promise. Ours is to claim the promise. Then your question was, does it really mean to say God will withhold some blessings for those who don't tithe?
Mm.
The answer is obvious. If God says, I will bless you because of tithing, it automatically implies if I didn't tithe, then he will not bless me. Because, however, we need to understand the broader scope of blessing.
Okay.
There are general blessings, like God says, Jesus says, God gives the rain, the sun to everyone. So even somebody who does not tithe cannot be excluded in the general blessings that God gives others, but automatically will be excluded from the particular blessing of tithing.
Okay. So, you know, in my language, it's just that you won't understand it. It's like an inner et. You give, I give. You don't give, I don't give. It's like a beautiful game. Is this the understanding?
Most likely that is exactly what it is. God is saying, I've already blessed you because you return from what God has already given you.
Mm-hmm.
But God promises to continue blessing by opening up the windows. Meaning to say, God is not saying, if you give me the tenth because I had already blessed you, it's now enough. God is more like saying, I will continue blessing you. I will continue opening up avenues. And remember, if you are to get time to interview people with the testimonies, we have come across these experiences where even in a difficult time, God blesses you and you wonder what could have happened. And the only thing you can think of to say, probably my faithfulness to God has rewarded me.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, I explained the general blessing and the particular blessing. So this thing does not become a general issue for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a particular relationship with your God, where you can then give a testimony to what the Lord has given you in person.
Right. Now, I'm wondering, Pastor, though, you know, with what you've just said, doesn't the sun shine on both the righteous and the evil? Haven't we not seen those who are not necessarily followers of God or those who are righteous? They live in comfortable lives. They've got the money. They've got what seems to be blessings. I mean, they live in large houses. They're in great health. They're in great shape. They eat good food. They've got great friendships. Their families are fantastic. Some of them, in fact, you would discover that many of them don't even return the tithe.
Actually, that is not a new question. David himself in the Bible says, I almost slipped off when I saw the unrighteous prospering. And he goes on to say, only it is when I behold the way of the Lord in his sanctuary that I got hope.
Okay.
So, even somebody who does not tithe.
Yes. Pastor? Ooh, goodness. All right. It is now 16 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock. I'm not sure what happened to the pastor, that we keep on, getting cut with the pastor. I'm hoping that he's going to be back on the line. If you enjoy, Pastor, are you back?
Hello.
Yes,
I'm back.
We lost you there for a moment. Yes, you were saying that even those who are not tithing, and yes, I lost you there.
Okay, I was saying those who are not tithing cannot fail to benefit from general blessings, just like the sunshines for everyone. If I know how to do business, whether I tithe or not, if I know how to invest, I'll basically be rich. But what the Bible means then is I am actually excluded from the particular blessing of tithing. And you remember, God's blessings cannot really be measured or quantified in monetary terms only.
What is this particular blessing of tithing, Pastor?
When God says, I will open up windows for you and to see if you will not even be able to contain the blessing. When we look at our lives, we discover there are many more blessings, even bigger than just monetary issues. Peace of mind itself, the same way we are in the same economy, under the same difficult conditions, but the way you are viewing everything, the way you are not even sleeping all night, despite the fact that you have a therapeutic bed, and I just sleep on the floor, comfortable, happy, understanding the promises of God, that is a blessing on its own.
Yeah, that's good, that's good. That's good.
So the Bible is giving us more than just a financial blessing. That is what God is going to open up windows to bless us until we cannot even measure his blessings.
But has that truly happened, though, Pastor? Because we read about it. But have we actually seen it in practical terms, honestly?
Indeed.
Please.
Indeed. I can testify personally.
Oh, goodness, we lost you, Pastor? Pastor Sibanda. Oh, all right, we are having a conversation with Pastor Sibanda about the returning of the tithe and its importance, etc. And yes, Pastor, sorry, man, we lost you there for a moment. You can testify, that's what you were saying. All right. I think this line is actually not good enough. But perhaps we need to... Pastor?
Yes, please.
Yeah, now I can hear you. I think we...
I was saying, we are actually experiencing those things even in our own lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay. In one time, it was in 2009, I was a temporary teacher. And I said, God, if I just get this salary, I want to return a faithful tithe, and I did. And guess what? The following term, I go to another private school. And they just came with a new method of paying teachers. When I was just a day old in that school, they said, prepare subject registers and this. This is the way we are going to pay you. When I just submitted that schemes of work and the subject register, the following day, we got paid and I got 100% of my salary, having worked, actually without even teaching any class, by merely submitting a schemes of work and a subject register. I got paid with people who had already worked for more than 30 days at school.
Beautiful.
And to me, I just took that as a direct blessing from God from my previous month's promises to say, God, if I will get a salary, I'll just return a faithful tithe. And I did. So I have something that I can personally say. It's true. This is not only what we can read in scripture, but it happens in our own lives.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, there is now speaking about the blessings, and of course, blessings of a returning a tithe, as you spoke about it earlier. Does this then mean, I mean, tithing, that one would never be broke? Surely we've seen people who have who return a faithful tithe broke. So what happens there? Is this promise even true?
The promise is very, very true.
So why are they broke?
You know what? When we return tithe, we actually remain with 90% with ours.
Right.
So the idea is not only about returning the 10%. We also need to be faithful in then how we spend the 90%.
Okay.
What it means, if I begin to live a life way beyond my means, I will definitely get broke, not because God didn't bless me, but because I'm actually misusing the 90% that I already remained with. So returning tithe is not necessarily a strategy of not getting broke.
Aha, I get you. Lovely, actually. Eh? It's not a strategy of not getting broke.
Yes, it is a faithfulness on our part, and God does his own part.
Lovely. Well, Pastor, if you could just leave one word after today's conversations before we let you go.
I would want to say, God is not in need of our money. God is in need of us. The best gift we can ever give God is ourselves. And everything that is ours would be at God's disposal for his work and for his mission.
So it is therefore encouraged that everyone who has been blessed to receive, to rather return that tithe, eh?
Yes, it is encouraged. Everyone who believes God is the one who is blessing him, God is the one who is sustaining him, he has to return a faithful tithe and an offering that shows an appreciation to God's goodness.
Beautiful. And then those who believe that, well, they've got nothing and as such, they have not seen this blessing because they don't have money at all. They don't have any ways of a livelihood. Is that a tithe expected of them?
Yes, it is expected.
Even though they don't work?
Even if you are not going to work.
So how are they going to return a tithe if they're not working?
You only return a tithe, which is 10% of what you have already been given. So if you absolutely don't have anything, you are not obligated to return anything. Tithe is only expected from somebody who has already received something.
Ah, from those who have received something. So those who are literally sitting and they have not received anything. In fact, they are just begging. There's no tithe expected there, is there?
It is not expected of them to tithe. However, they are in serious danger. Remember the parable of the talents. The guy given one talent was not condemned because of failing to keep the one talent. He was condemned because of failing to multiply the one talent.
Okay.
So God is expecting a tithe from all of us. In essence, God is not expecting any one of us not to receive anything from him because God is ready to bless us. Therefore, if you really don't have anything, no tithe is expected of you. Mm-hmm. But probably, why are you not having something? Because God is still ready to bless you so that you can still tithe.
Lovely. So effectively, we cannot then say to a beggar, listen, you are begging, which means that out of the begging that you've done, you've received 10 rands for bread. Bring it here. It needs to go to God. You'll see bread another time.
Not really. Not really.
Ah, lovely. Okay, thank you, Pastor, for joining us. It's been a fantastic one. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow, same time and same place.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.